It's time for Seminole Headlines featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, Managing Editor Ira Schofel, and Senior Writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines underway, kids. Great to be with you as always. There I see Ira and Corey. Hello, boys. How the heck are you? You good?
What up?
Fantastic.
Good to hear. Is this loud enough? We good to go here? Early on, it's a little bit of a hustle. You know how it goes. We got cameras to set up.
Back in the old days when we first started, we used to could take some time to do the mic checks.
Because
Yeah, that's right.
Recorded.
We don't do that anymore.
No.
Don't have that luxury. Now we're just flying blind.
Yeah, we get right into it. Let's say hello to our friends at Register Sausage. Yay, sausage! Big time.
Big week for Register
Sausage. Big week, yeah.
Had the contest. Ben came up with the idea. He and Will came up with the idea of doing a little giveaway, 5 packages of Register Sausage.
Mm.
All you had to do was retweet them on Twitter.
Boom.
Or I think like share it on Instagram, tag somebody maybe. And if you did a recipe, they give you a bonus. Your favorite Register's recipe, they give you a bonus entry. And we've got 2 winners. We're going to announce the winners. They get a 5-pack of Register Sausage delivered to them. And they'll also get a new Seminole Headlines t-shirt. Part of our merch drop that people are going to hear about.
Man, this is overwhelming. You're coming out the box swinging here. There's so much to get to. We've got to set up the – look at this. So here it is. It's on the – if you're watching the video on WarChant TV, you can see these shirts now, and they're fantastic. Your daughter did an amazing job, by the way.
Good job, Alexa.
She's very talented.
We did a great job creating the brand.
Correct.
Well,
right.
There's no
she
doubt.
Brought it to life, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she did. But we're the brand creators.
So I shared the Headlines logo on. I don't know if Matthew can bring that up.
Can you zoom that logo?
I shared it on Twitter the other day. It was very popular. People liked
it.
Oh, look at that.
Look at there it is. That's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you see what my guy on Twitter did to me though?
With your fuzzy hair,
Well, he not only did he gray it, but then he thinned it out.
The gray's already there. Alexa did the gray.
He thinned it out.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of cold, right?
Well, it was loving. Man. It was endearing.
Yeah. It wasn't necessary.
It's a clean look, man. You're right, Troy, in the chat. That is true. It looks good, doesn't it? That's beautiful.
And we're not going to, quibble about the fact that Corey's now super skinny or the fact that Jeff doesn't really wear the glasses all that much anymore.
I wear it when I get home.
Okay. So this is your home look.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we now have some shirts available. We got the Corey Classic.
I think Maryland could be a problem. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one. So you get that. You have that choice there. I think we have others. We'll go through. We're going to roll out.
Well, the main one, the one on the right, is the one we're doing here because it ties in with Registers and the giveaway.
So 2 lucky winners. I'm going to announce them right now. One is from Twitter, Adam Hill, at Adam C. Hill.
Hey, dog. He's A-Train.
He's the winner on Twitter. And on Instagram, the winner was Trip. Trip Taylor.
Nice.
_BT3.
Those are the two winners. A cool name.
And Registers is going to DM you guys to get your shipping information and send you your package. 5 packs of sausage and for the Super Bowl.
Adam and Trip are a yay sausage.
Yeah. Adam and Trip, and they get a yay sausage t-shirt too.
Correct.
That's a gorgeous looking shirt too.
It's
so,
all gorgeous.
Yes. Good job, guys. We'll continue to promote and then we'll tell you about. So the website, Ira, for them to be able to go pick it up.
Exactly. It's Seminole Headlines. myshopify.com. It's on the Shopify site. That's who's hosting it, and it's really easy. SeminoleHeadlines.myshopify.com. We'll tweet it later also. But, man, if you guys want a Headlines shirt, we wear it with
pride, too, obviously.
I mean, with a lot of pride.
Yes, yeah.
And you might want to taunt your other friends who don't have them. That's the spirit that we bring with Seminole Headlines.
The key is to buy 2 at a time. Because you just don't know.
You don't know what your body's going to be in 6 months.
Well, also who you're going to run into that's saying, I really want one of those. Like, well, I bought 2.
Here you go. I got one in my pocket.
Yeah, so everybody buy 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Just so you'll be ready for the rush.
Yeah, yeah.
You got plenty of time
for the holidays to get your holiday shopping in.
Yay, sausage. There you go.
And yay, Alexa. Good work.
Yeah, yay, Alexa.
Yeah, you should crush that graphic.
Because the 3 of us wouldn't have done anything close to that.
Clearly. It's been 13 years.
We haven't bothered to do it
I
once.
I asked her, I was like, could you do a logo for us? And she's like, yeah, what do you think? I was like, I don't know, a football, the word Seminole Headlines, I don't know, a basketball, so I don't know.
And she was like, I got it.
Yeah.
Well,
say no more, Dad.
You somehow produce talented kids. We all did. It's a miracle.
We all did, man. It's kind of crazy.
It is crazy.
Corey Brady's out here making his making freshman baseball
team. Making a baseball team.
Incredible.
Yes.
Yeah. Now I want to come up to a game when the season starts. I want to put a little pressure on him.
Oh,
either
good,
in the stands,
man. Yeah, nice.
Cheer him on.
I think Corey's going to handle the pressure part.
He gets a lot of pressure from his old man.
You still?
I'm interested to see how I'll be now that he's a friend. Like, he's actually on a team that I have no impact. I've never met the coach. I don't think I'm supposed to talk to the coach.
Oh, you're going to be totally calm now.
Well, I think I'm like...
Are you going to be doing the box scores and claiming that he should be an all-star?
Yeah, well, no.
All-district,
that's different.
All-state?
That's different. That's when he was eight. That's when it mattered.
You're going to send the batting averages off to the local paper?
Yeah, I got ties there.
Hey, AJC, what's going on here?
My kid's on the freshman team batting 311.
What are we doing? Let's get this in here. Yeah. No, so, good. Yeah, it's exciting times. Exciting times. By the way, tomorrow... Just so you guys know, I've got Mike Norvell ready to roll. They confirmed this morning. So what should we talk to Mike about? I'm going to talk to him in the morning. We're going to record it. We'll have it on the JCS. We'll have it on War Chant TV. We'll have it everywhere, of course. But I'm kind of curious. Well, if you guys wanted to posit a question here, what would you go with?
One thing I was thinking about, just, you know, the hype is really starting to crank up.
It is already.
Bill Connolly's coming out with some stuff, talking about how Florida State, I think, has the most returning production of any team in college football. There was a PFF. I did a story on the site yesterday. PFF is put out a list of like the top 10 players at every position coming back, and based on their PFF grades and what they expect from them coming back. And Florida State has a skill player at every position in the top 10 in the country. Jordan Travis is the number 3 quarterback. Trey Benson, I think, is number 5 or number 6 running back. Johnny Wilson's like the number 7 receiver. Jaheim Bell's the number 4 tight end. Florida State's the only school in the country. There's only 2 schools that have 4 skill players on their team listed the top 10 of their positions, and Florida State's the only school with one at each of the positions. So, man, there's a lot of I wonder if he's starting to feel, you know, the expectations.
Should I start with, like, just kind of a jovial, better not suck next year, Mike?
Not even better not suck. Better not just be 8 win. Don't give us 8.
No half-stepping, Mike. Nope. Let's talk about it. I'm sure he would love that.
There's
February.
There's real pressure that comes with expectations, man.
Well, but I do wonder how his messaging changes. You know, coaches bring different messages to their meetings and workouts, and you know, every year is different. I think late in the season when we started asking him some things and what was on the table, and he kept saying, well, you know, we always talk, it's always about us. It's not about the opponent. Mm-hmm. So do you keep that, or do you change it to a different approach of maybe something more aspirational? Since there is a lot on the table,
I hope not. I hope it's still just about us. Just you stay consistent, and you know, I mean, they haven't. Look, I think within that mantra is certainly there are goals. You want to win the conference. That's any team in the ACC wants to win the conference. Whether it's realistic or not is always a different question. But I don't think you would change the way that you go about the day-to-day operations just because the expectations are there. I wouldn't almost, you know, I wouldn't ignore them. You and I have talked about that, but I would stay consistent with what got us to a place where we could have these expectations to begin with.
But don't you think it's interesting that all those players that came through on those interviews talked about championships? Like, that's not coming from the ether, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of them came because of a 10-win season and all these guys coming back. But again, going back to the point we brought up a lot, or I brought up a lot, probably too much, is these guys really haven't accomplished anything. Like, you know, I was thinking about watching the North Carolina Duke basketball game Saturday night. It's like that North Carolina team made their run in the NCAA tournament. They weren't great last year, but they got hot at the right time. They beat Duke on Coach K's last game at home, which was incredible.
Hilarious.
Maybe the best moment of the year sports-wise. And then beat them again in the Final Four, and then got to the championship game, had a big lead and lost it. But they came back number 1 in the country with all this hype and expectations, and they've been flat-ass average. They haven't been good at all, really, by their standards. And you just wonder, can something like that happen to a football team? Because that North Carolina basketball team, actually, they went to a Final Four. They beat Coach K. I mean, they might have won the ACC tournament. Who can remember? Does Florida State suffer from that a little bit, a football team? Can they suffer collectively like they're better than they're not as good as they think they are?
That's possible. It's something to –
Because that Carolina team clearly wasn't as good as they thought they were.
Yeah, but what happens typically in a situation like that to me is when an integral part of why you went on that run exits the building. So if you were to – like if Jordan Travis wasn't here and then Florida State Seminoles had just won 10 games and gotten back into the collective conscience of those that cover college football, they might preseason be 15 or 12, but people would conveniently be ignoring at that point because they often do in rankings – they lost their starting quarterback, so it may not be the same. We would know it. The locals always do. But nationally, they'd Florida State looks like they're back. I don't think so, guys. They didn't win anything last year. They didn't win anything. They didn't win the Atlantic. They didn't get to the ACC championship game. They certainly didn't win the conference. They didn't. I mean, they didn't win anything.
Yeah.
So to me, they're just they've got to be in some ways even more hungry than they were a year ago.
That's what you hope.
You
right?
got a
That's
glimpse what of what's hope. Possible when you play well, but you didn't beat anybody great but LSU, and you didn't win anything.
Right.
But I do think you also have to understand that now you've kind of gone from the hunter to the hunted from
sure.
the standpoint of nobody was expecting anything from nobody circled Florida State on their schedule last year.
Right.
Well, now everybody's going to be scheduling Florida State on the roster. They saw circling. You win 10 games. What did I say?
You said scheduling on, it on your roster. Roster.
Man, that's a. That's, really I might be that. Having a stroke.
Let's
here,
lock
guys.
It in. No, no, no.
Can I
lock it in? Yeah, we're live.
You smell that toast,
can't
right?
Can't have
you
a stroke while we're live. I can edit out a stroke.
You still smell that toast.
Yeah.
If you, I mean, this year it's going to be totally different.
Yeah.
Florida State is going to be the team that teams are gunning for. And so because of that, you have to ratchet things up a little bit. Like, you can't just be the same team you were last year and just adding in a few pieces. Like, you've got to get better. And those players that came in have to understand that they're not joining a team that's already arrived, and now just by being here, they're going to have success. Like, the hunger's still got to be there. And I think that does come back to coaching. I'm not saying they shouldn't have that desire, but I do think a coaching staff has to make sure it's there, because you only get one chance at a team like this.
He had a perfect year because they lost games enough to be able to point out what you didn't accomplish and what can happen when you don't play well on the road at NC State, at home to Wake, whatever it might be, right? And at the same time, they had enough success where those kids can garner some confidence. So he kind of had the perfect season where those guys are now, I would think, brimming with confidence and belief in themselves because they finally accomplished something. And then at the same time, he's got enough ammunition to say, well, look, let's be realistic here. Yes, we're a lot better than we were, but we still haven't gotten anywhere close to where we want to go. I mean, ultimately, when you come to Florida State, and if you're planning to be here a long time as a coach, you got to get to where you're playing for championships.
You can kind of equate it really to, I know we rolled our eyes when Jimbo did this after the 2012 season, when he kept telling us how important it was to see his players walking around with ACC championship hats and shirts. Like, they really enjoyed it because they beat Georgia Tech. Wasn't a great game. They held on, but they beat Georgia Tech in the ACC championship game. And he's like, guys, they won a championship. Now they know what it's like to win a championship. So I think that matters, that they have accomplished something. But also, like that 12 team going into 13, there was still a lot of doubt and still a lot they hadn't accomplished. You know, people kind of poo-pooed their 12-win season because they didn't really beat anybody. And, yeah, you won the ACC, you beat a really average Georgia Tech team. So they had so much to accomplish still. I think this Florida State team is kind of in that boat. They're not as talented, clearly, as that 2013 team is. But they could still have the same feeling of accomplishment and confidence that came from 2022, but knowing that they're still not going to be ranked number one. There's still nobody really expecting them to win a national championship. They still should have a lot of hunger and a lot of something to prove. And I think they have the capability to beat anybody in the country.
The good news, too, is that a lot of this is about the makeup of the team, right? So your players that are striving for, you know, Jimbo used to talk about, you know, you strive for perfection knowing you can never reach it, but along the way you hit excellence.
He made that up, by the way.
Perfectly, you know, didn't get it from a book, didn't know that along that, no. So what I would think is that you're in really good hands offensively because you got a lot of guys who not only got confident, got better, and got a taste of how good they could be offensively. And I think that if you're Jordan Travis, you took a huge step. But if your goal is to play in the NFL as a quarterback, he's got to continue to grow, right? And he is a hard worker. We know that about him. Well, your quarterback's going to set the tone.
Yeah.
So that guy who's pulling the trigger and touches the ball on every play is going to be a hard-ass worker and wanting to get better. Everybody's got to come along for the ride.
Well, and you think about all the guys that chose to come back, and they got, you know, deals to make it happen. Battle's End was a part of the process. But
Is there another one now in the market, too?
Well, that one's been there before, Mickenope.
Oh, okay.
They have a different agenda. They do more life skills things and things like that. But, yeah, there's three collectives, really, at Florida State. But anyway, all those guys chose to come back, and you'd like to think that that is the, not rallying cry, but that's what they're reminding themselves and their teammates every day in those workouts and at tour duty and when they're in the summer working by themselves is, what did we come back for? You know, we came back for a reason. We didn't come back here just to hang out in Tallahassee, just to hang out with Ira, Corey, and Jeff.
They're not
for another year.
No, they could do that whenever.
Although
they want.
That is fun.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
I mean, they may tell them each other. Like, in addition to the money that we got from Battles Inn, we do get to hang out another year.
Well,
with Ira,
look,
Corey, and Jeff.
I like to spend time with my kid, but most of December we were here meeting with these kids and Battles Inn, telling them, "Yeah, you can hang out with us if you come back." I mean, the meeting with Johnny Wilson
that
took
was part
90
of it.
Minutes.
Yeah.
We really had
Johnny's
to convince
kind of needy that way.
Yeah.
You were running late, and then we were worried.
Right. It's like, this isn't a good precedent to set. Johnny's going to bounce, and Jordan was wondering, too.
But he just lit up when you came in the room.
Man, well, people do. People do.
But no, I mean, don't you think that motivation will be there? Because
I don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I worry about it
a little bit.
I know you do, but I don't. Not offensively. Defensively, man, I want to see this team really grow because I think that's the next step. If they do that, they'll be really good next year. Like maybe go to the college football playoff good.
Well, the thing about the defense is, I know the vast majority of people who are active on social media, we can't say this is all fans.
No.
But a lot of the people who are on social media or on our message boards or right into your show are, you know, focused almost entirely on Adam Fuller. And the coaching staff and the coaching change. And I just feel like, man, so much of it more is about personnel. And they've changed that personnel. That front four is going to look very different. First of all, Fabian Lovett will be there. We did a thing on the snap counts. Fabian Lovett played like 200 snaps last year. He played like 7 games and averaged 30 snaps in those 7 games.
Yeah, no, he was hardly around.
Robert Cooper had one arm. So that wasn't the defensive line anybody expected them to have.
Which is why I'm excited and why I also think they can get a lot better.
Right.
I mean, they have to.
And that changes everything. That changes the back 7.
Oh, without question. Yeah, no, and that's, man, every time we have this discussion about the things we want to see, the things we hope to see, what they have to avoid, what the expectations are, what's reasonable, I get more and more excited, and then I remember it's February. And luckily, it's not long before we start getting into spring practice discussions because we're going to want to talk about this team. It's hard to talk about a team for months and months and months unless there's competition, unless there's something still at stake to be had. And there is. And the spring will be the beginning of that fierce competition that we document on a daily basis, which will be a lot of fun.
Again, I always point out that the cool thing about our job is that when we talk about spring, we are talking about stuff we see.
Right.
We're not taking coaches or players' words for it. We're actually watching it with our own eyes and then basing opinions and off that.
I got Jared Schenk coming at me with a shank in the chat.
Uh-oh.
Corey, you take a lot of crap for your Maryland prediction. Does Ira get a pass for his 2018 FSU Clemson prediction? That was, I think I said that Florida State might be able to upset Clemson.
Well, on this show?
I don't recall that. Yeah. You?
Yeah, no, I can't.
Jared does. Jared does.
Well, it seems like you do too.
I felt like
you,
there
you,
was
you're
a scenario
coming out of nowhere.
I felt like there was a scenario.
Which
could see
one was
a path.
That? That was the 59-3.
Well, so
59-10.
If you remember, until Asante Samuel roughed the kicker, Florida State was right in that game.
Right, exactly. And Maryland was only down 7 points.
To this.
Maryland was only down 7 points in the second quarter.
It had remained dormant. We need to leave it be.
Thanks, Jared.
There you go. Seminole Headlines 93.3 Real Talk Radio War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hey, headliners and elite headliners. It's Ira here, and it's time to talk Shopify. As you remember, a couple of years ago, we wanted to create and sell Headlines merch for the best podcast listeners in the world. That's you. But we had no idea where to get started. Now we're selling Yay Sausage shirts, and it's so easy. All because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're a startup working out of your man cave or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to grow your business without all the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. You could be selling Don Julio socks from Shopify's in-person point-of-sale system or offering headliner shirts from Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform. Whatever you need, you're covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love most about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up today for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase, and they'll help you grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Go to shopify.com/warchant.
Criminal Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Ira, tell everybody where they can get those Seminole Headlines shirts again, buddy.
You're just pimping them, huh?
That's what, yeah. It's the rollout, baby.
Seminole Headlines SeminoleHeadlines.myshopify.com.
SeminoleHeadlines.myshopify.com.
Rolls off the tongue. Then we got a gift this week.
Yeah, hold on. They're back there. I'm going to have to wait till the next commercial
all
break.
Right,
yeah.
We got a little,
no, they're both awesome.
Yeah, they are.
Ken the Carver coming up big time. Yeah, that'll be good. We'll do that after the next into the next segment. I'll grab those suckers. Hold them up to the camera. I was very impressed that he efforted to. It wasn't a platinum Bohica. He came up with the golden Bohica with the nine
for nine wins. He decided because we had talked about maybe the diamond Bohica.
Oh, buddy,
25.
We got a little ahead platinum. Of ourselves. Yeah. Here we go. Maybe we'll have him here. Here we go.
Matthew's going to make the.
Yeah, he's going to make the move. Okay, let's start with this one, guys. This holds a special place in my heart. Nine wins in a row over Miami. Tell me
this
if you guys.
Not for the podcast listeners.
Okay.
Just for the YouTube viewers.
All right.
We'll be quick about it. Be quick about it.
You can tell. Not too quick. I just want to.
You can see.
It's an upside down U.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a.
I think we know what's going on there.
Casually.
Yeah.
Hanging around the Seminole guy.
That is something. By the way, this is Ken the Carver's new look, which is also awesome. Yeah.
The Grim Reaper.
The Grim Reaper. It's great. All right. There's that. And, you know, it's pushing the envelope a little bit. And then we have what's the equivalent of the promise. And reading that is good, too. I don't know if you can, Ira. I think I should probably read it.
Yeah, it was the one we got. I think I showed it on one of the Zoom ones we did. But, yeah, it's the Roland Sweet sending that message with basically talking about how happy he was with Florida State and all
and
the coverage.
And then how dismissive Corey was at the bar.
Well, I wasn't dismissive, but he was happy with the program. He was happy with the media coverage. And we said we did a really good job.
For those that don't know what Roland said, he said, "I find there to be so many positives from this football season. Obviously, the players and coaches and all their hard work. The fans were so solid in attendance and support as well. I really like the media coverage of warchant.com and the staff. I listen to Jeff Cameron every day. Corey Clark, Ira Schofel, and Tom Wang. I also like the addition of Jeff Culhane as the broadcaster. It's a new day for FSU, and it feels like a new beginning to a very bright future for our program. Keep climbing, Knowles, and thank you for a very exciting year. It's been fun to watch." That's from Roland. And underneath it is the Corey Clark quote in response to that very kind
heartfelt
offering.
Message.
Corey wrote, "We appreciate it. Trust us, we really do, but also, yeah, we know."
Yeah, that's dismissive is probably not the most accurate.
No, I mean, he said it in a way where it sounds dismissive, but if you go back and listen to the tape.
Oh, yeah, you were almost in tears.
It was,
yeah, I forgot.
That's why I couldn't keep talking.
You had to catch yourself. You were
up.
A little choked up in the moment.
Yep.
Anyhow, yeah, that was great. And
so Ken the Carver carved that whole thing, which is incredible.
And we'll have it up in the studio next time you guys are here on Tuesday. Next Tuesday, we'll have those suckers up. We're taking over that whole studio.
And the Golden Bohica, just the timeliness of it, because as of about a week ago, he still was under the assumption.
He didn't even know what it was.
Wasn't sure what the Platinum Bohica was, and then he kind of figured things out, talked it over with his wife, did some research on the internet. And then came up with this and told me, I think he sent me an image of it, I think on Friday. And, dude,
it's
it was at the
awesome house
on Monday.
Yeah. I feel like there's going to be people that want to order that.
Maybe.
I'm just saying, yeah. There's going to be some people that want to order that plaque.
We'll put it on the.
Ken's like, "Man, this is a side gig for me. I'm having some fun with it, guys.
We'll put it in the shop.
You don't need to put me to work." Yeah. I mean, it's going to be out here. Churning them out.
I bring the dinner out here. I can't leave.
You guys brought it up though. Listen, don't launch into Taylor Swift tour dates. But Florida State has won 7 in a row over Louisville.
Real quick good work, Matt. Life Spectator said he asked who is Roland Sweet. It was just one of the headliners.
Just a headliner.
Yeah,
just
it was
a,
in the
just a
questions.
Nice guy who wrote in. Yeah.
Yeah, in the questions portion.
Yeah.
He just had that wasn't a question. He just wanted to tell us how happy he was with being a Seminole.
A-plus on the Golden Bohica, right, Sauer? I agree. That is fantastic work. One more time for those. Hold on. Here you go, guys. If you got to the War Chant TV, there's the Golden, which is really good.
Yep. Okay. Would have been better if it was Platinum, but Ken did what he could.
But alas.
Alas, they
yeah, we got 7 in a row now. 7
over Louisville. Yeah, that's right.
Get yeah. some, Louisville.
Whew, hard times for both the programs.
Who will be the head coach there when they get to 10?
I don't know, but by the way, I never realized. Does anybody know? This is just an aside. Why is Georgia Tech broke? I read the Atlanta Journal-Constitution did a whole article on Georgia Tech athletics being dead-ass broke.
So
with no chance to, I mean,
are you still paying Paul Hewitt?
What's
Paul
going
Johnson?
On?
I haven't read that article, but I do know that there was talk in the industry that everybody's favorite athletic director, Dan Radakovich, before he went to Clemson, he was there, and that they did a lot of, they were very aggressive. It didn't have results from it, and they were over leveraged.
Yeah, well,
but part of the problem in a school like that is like you can invest all you want, but is it gonna be? I mean, Corey lived there. He's spoken to it before. There's not a lot of Georgia Tech fans other than Georgia Tech grads, right?
No, and the basketball team back in the day
they
was
were
a,
really
was
good.
A big
Bobby
draw.
Crimmins was
and
a
it was
big
a
draw.
Big draw, yeah. But college basketball isn't a big draw anymore.
And football is what pays the bills.
Football is what pays the bills, and they've never and they will never ever be close to Georgia in fan attention or ratings or anything like that.
So you that's it's just a cautionary tale of these schools who all want to get in to the upper crust, and you can throw money at it, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work.
Fascinates me, though, because ultimately, you know, you look at Florida State's situation in this conference and those that would oppose Florida State and Clemson getting out because what would it mean for the ACC? But then there have got to be some other schools that aren't dislike Georgia Tech who realize that long-term they're not going to be able to compete at that level and be part of a super conference. Georgia Tech would probably be fine with saying, yeah, take it on down the road.
You would think, but then do these TV, you know, it's going to be the TV companies that it's going to be ESPN that dictates the next.
Yeah, ESPN and Fox.
ESPN and Fox.
Are they going to
they're not going to want Georgia Tech.
I mean, it's the Atlanta market, right?
Oh.
Why did the ACC want Boston and Syracuse? It was all these markets that we, if they would have just pulled the three of us, they're like, nobody cares. Boston College, I get angry just talking about it, just thinking about it. They have added absolutely zero to this conference.
They've been a drain.
Yeah, in any way, shape, or amount. Yeah, they have. Like, they're taking money out of other people's
pockets.
Well,
that's pockets. My point. With Georgia Tech being in the plight that they're in, I'm like, if we need to pay the big dogs a little bit more, we can tell some of these other schools to take it on down the road.
Boston
and then
College
have
would be the first one. Like, they do nothing. Pitt's close, but at least they're pretty good at football. But Boston College, even when they're good, nobody cares. Nobody cares there. They add absolutely zero to this conference.
Unless hockey takes off.
Right.
At the collegiate level. At the collegiate level.
Yeah, and it's about to. I feel
you feel
it.
Like
it's
you're
percolating.
Just hanging in
it's
there,
percolating.
Guys. A little bit more time, and their usefulness will
become
apparent.
Better chance being good at pickleball. Pickleball will take off before college hockey.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
We did a baseball video yesterday for War Chant TV. You guys can find on warchant.com. And when we got done, we signed off. Always makes me sad when I hit click to get off the StreamYard. I was like, should have chit-chatted a little bit longer with the fellas. That's just me. You guys don't seem to be of the same mindset. Now you're like, screw you, Jeff. Go ahead and click off.
There's and so
we
much
talked about, after you about. Oh, we were probably 20 minutes. We were on there just.
Like, it would have been. It would have been cool.
Would have been nice if I would have been there for the conversation. Yeah, I apologize.
The when we did all the football ones in on Zoom during the pandemic, and we did them for a long time after things had kind of opened up. We still did a lot of Zoom interviews, but man, Derek Satterfield, the SID for football, my man is the quickest trigger because you want like.
I don't want anybody saying anything they're not supposed to say.
I don't know. I just feel like, you're kind of always wondering, is he going to say anything?
Should you be like, hey, coach, thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
Some chit-chat or whatever. And your session's ended.
Yeah.
Derek was quick on the trigger.
Yeah. Well, I do think that's a byproduct of each minute of the day being spoken for when it comes to Mike. I think that they're regimented over there.
You'd think they were getting charged by the minute. It was like a meter running a taxi cab.
You go 1 minute beyond, clickety-doo.
The old days with cell phones before we had unlimited plans.
I think about the old days.
Yeah, I only got 4 minutes left. I got 4 minutes on my plan.
I'm going to call you tonight at 9 when I get 3 minutes.
That's on 1 minute.
Did you guys have the Nextel beep, beep, beep?
We were T-Mobile.
I had the Nextel.
Oh, so those are free because they're in the network?
But then I realized how that's not a good idea. Because if you have friends that are like my friends, or if you're like me, and you beep, beep, beep onto somebody and they're, you don't know who they're with, and you're saying the kinds of things we say to each other.
Oh, right.
That can be very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's like a walkie-talkie.
Yeah,
right?
Somebody's sitting there in their living room with their, you know, 87-year-old grandmother, and she's like, hey, blah, 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 blah. Like, whoa, 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 man. I'm sitting here with Grammy. You can't be. So I realized that was probably a bad idea.
Not a good idea.
It was like, Ben, when beepers changed to where they you could do the voice thing on beepers and people, My buddy
I never had a beeper.
I never had a beeper either.
You were in middle school when we were rolling around with beepers.
Yeah. Checking the numbers with the beepers.
Yeah. Oh, it's a 911. I got to call quick.
You got to call quick. Got to call right away. No, no, no. So, anyhow, we were talking about baseball yesterday in the video and in what is a proper expectation. And all I know is that when we clicked off, I started perusing the roster again. And I am encouraged. I think they're going to be all right. If they get the pitching going, they're going to be fine.
I thought you made a really good point that we kind of kept it moving. We didn't like – a lot of times when we do these things, kind of like headlines, well, somebody will say something and somebody else either agree or disagree.
Right.
That format was – Tom was keeping it going, man.
We didn't want a 28-minute baseball video.
Which is fine. But I thought you made a really good point. I didn't get to say that. But
oh, well, thank you.
Well, here you go. What's the point?
Well, just about how – some of the individual performances might be a lot better because the overall culture and just morale is going to be higher.
The clubhouse is not going to be fractured and you got guys that are hurting and angry and frustrated. And, you know, I mean, to me, when you show up at a place to work and you like who you work with and everybody's like-minded and pulling in the same direction, it's a lot easier to go out the business of trying to get better and do your job and be dependable. And I feel like the last several years, that hasn't been the case in that clubhouse, that Florida State, something happened along the way where things kind of went south culturally and they had a hard time getting it back. And, you know, ultimately the head coach suffers for that. And that's why Mike is no longer there. Mike Martin Jr. Don't care to get into the reasons for that. I just want to say that I think that is going to be greatly improved and should improve the overall morale of the program.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times with coaching, and this is one of the things I talked to when I was advocating for not making major changes on the football staff, even if you don't love everybody on the staff, is because when it is working, sometimes it's dangerous to play around with it too much. I felt like when Mike Bell left the baseball team, when Mike Bell left his pitching coach to become head coach at Pitt, I thought he was a really nice balance to Mike Martin Jr. because he was a little bit more good cop to Mike Martin Jr.'s bad cop, and I felt like there was a good chemistry there. I'm not criticizing the guys that came after him, but I felt like the chemistry wasn't great at that position in terms of how they worked and how they related to the players and then how the players related to each other. Kind of to some degree, you brought up basketball earlier. This basketball staff's had a lot of turnover over the last several years.
It's tough, yeah.
First Gates left and CY left, and, you know, really the only coach that's still there with Leonard is Stan Jones. Steve Smith's been there a couple of years. He replaced Gates. He's a good guy. RJ Barsh, the new assistant coach, I think is a good guy, but I don't know if that chemistry that worked so well before is working as well, and maybe that relates to the players. So I think that's a big part of it, is just having the right staff and the right chemistry, and I think that's why it was important to Link to bring those guys with him,
yeah,
because they're all very much in line.
It's hard to replicate. You know, even if the guys that replace the guys that leave are good at what they do or knowledgeable, you don't always find that same sort of synergy that you had with a different group. You know, I'd like to believe that if we booted Corey Clark out of Seminole Headlines, like we talked about a few years ago,
right?
That, you know, it would still be all right. But
it wasn't
a serious talk.
No, we didn't do a vote.
It was just a minor, you know, we were a little frustrated at the time. But it worked. But it worked
like
out.
What would it look like if Corey wasn't here?
Yeah.
Okay.
But there
Ira
were
brought it up. Preliminary discussions.
We'd had a couple of drinks.
It didn't go down the road.
No.
Not far enough.
Kind of out in the ether there for a second. The next day I was like, guys,
who else was in the meeting?
Well, the guy that might have been your replacement, but it was just
okay.
But the thing of it is, there's not always a guarantee, and we thought better of it for that reason. Mm-hmm. You know, for all of his annoyances, we realized that there was a lot of pluses.
There's a thing there. I bring a dynamic that you can't get anywhere.
Right, and we recognized that. We figured we could get you in line without having to have the talk, and it worked out. Yep. Worked out. They couldn't do that at FSU.
I feel like we're having the talk right now.
For whatever reason, though, things did, I think, fall apart communications-wise over at FSU in the baseball offices. And I do feel like it was a problem. And it can't help but be better now. You get it. You know, this is one of the things about change usually that comes into play is everybody's on board early. Now you got to win games or things start to suffer. And, somebody said in the chat a moment ago, I think it was Briley, that Link Jarrett's quotes read like he was tempering expectations for this upcoming year. And I'm sure you could look at it that way. He's talking about from the other day when we had the video from what he had to say there. But I think it's the coach still searching to figure out who's what more than anything else. Like, how am I going to use this guy? Where does this guy fit? Not real sure about the arms yet. Not like I doubt we can win games, just more like I'm not entirely certain who fits where just yet.
Yeah, I don't think it's coach speak.
No, I don't either. No, because he was being pretty upfront and honest about the pitching. Like, we just don't have a lot of numbers. You know, he's never had a staff. It sounded like he hadn't had a staff with this few arms. Mm-hmm. So he was talking about scrimmages and how they can't scrimmage a ton because they got to take care of the arms. But what I thought, we got to watch practice. We watched practice for like an hour. And again, I hesitate in doing this only because we didn't watch a lot of baseball practices the last few years, so it's hard to compare. But I don't know that I've seen this before to this level where they're taking batting practice. And, you know, when you're taking batting practice and the kids are practicing their leads and then they'll run to second.
Sure.
And they'll stop at second. They'll wait for the next pitch and then they'll run to third. But they're kind of just going through the motions, just almost getting loose more than anything. Well, in this scenario, when a kid's at second base, they're judging what they do on where the ball is hit. So if the ball is a line drive to center field, but it's kind of high up and hanging up, one of the kids started running to third, and they're like, no, that could be caught. So you're not just going, like, the ball's hit,
you're
I'm
not
running
just going
to third.
Through the motions. You're teaching.
The ball's hit the right field. No, and then they'd go to third. And as this kid's taking batting practice, they're getting leads, ground ball where you're going, fly ball you're tagging. So they're getting a lot done even in batting practice. The other guys are actually working on base running, and they're paying attention to it.
Well, good and Lord, they need to.
Well, and there's nothing taken for granted. I think that was one of the takeaways we had also is that, like, Link, not only are they coaching, but, like, Link is talking to them in everything they do. Like, in the other assistant coaches, too, and he's got a big staff. He's got a lot of people out there helping him. But Link particularly, you know, you watch him, and it's there's a mental conversation about the intellect of playing baseball that is ever present. Like, everything they do, there's a discussion about, and not stopping to talk, but he's explaining, like, this is why you underhand toss in this situation. This is why you don't. This is why you sidearm it. This is in everything from base running to defense to hitting, there's that constant mental approach of why we do things and how we do things that I think is you would like to believe is going to pay off with a smarter brand of baseball.
You get back to details and fundamentals. You establish those things. You have those ingrained, and then you move forward with whatever else. From there, he'll be able to recruit his guys who, you know, I think he has an idea of what he wants a team to look like and the way that he wants them to play. Certainly that rang true at Notre Dame. They were mentally tough. And I think if you're a Florida State fan, what you're most excited about is not just that there's a plan in place, and he's been able to articulate that in his interviews, and obviously he's been successful. He's been at several stops prior to getting here, so he's experienced a lot of different kinds of adversity and overcome those things and had success, small places on to big places like Notre Dame. But you think about how tough they were rolling into Knoxville and how tough they were in handling that environment. If you're Florida State, you just want to see a team that plays smart and is mentally tough and can handle things. They're tougher on the mound. They're tougher in the way they go about their business. You're just hoping like hell that that's what hiring Link Jarrett did. I think that's one of the many reasons he was hired. His teams had a lot of what for to him. It's been a minute, and I'm not calling any of those kids soft. I'm just saying that something fell between the cracks somewhere along the way, and they were having a hard time getting it back. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in just a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
Hey, one thing I do know, and we'll move on. We got headliner questions coming up here in about 5 minutes, and I don't want to hyper-focus for 2 hours on baseball, but I do know this. I miss the feeling of walking into Dick Howser Stadium when that team's good and when the fans believe in the product. And they're excited. We've all been to that ballpark on a consistent basis when it was packed and loud and lively, and they played a fun brand of baseball, and it was interesting. And you watch teams develop and get better, and guys find roles, and you anticipated the postseason. What were regionals going to look like, super regionals? Could you be a national top 8 seed? Could you get back to Omaha? Because it's been the unending quest for Florida State to cap it off with the elusive national championship. And I know, just listening to my boy Corey over here, and certainly all of us have had these interactions, it hasn't been fun, man. It hasn't been fun the last number of years. Even when they had some success, it wasn't a lot of fun. I'd really like to see that return because it was unique to Tallahassee in this sense. You know, Florida State baseball is one of the few products at a collegiate level where the city is really, really involved and passionate about a program. Like, you go to other schools in the ACC, it's not that way. It's sparsely attended. There aren't a lot of, you know, there aren't a lot of passionate fans. It's what one of the things that made Florida State unique. They weren't the only one. We know it's that way at Texas. We know at Mississippi State they're crazy for baseball, and LSU. You can name those programs. But Florida State was always one of them, and I thought that was so cool. It was the bridge that got us from, you know, when basketball stunk, you had football was really, really good. Basketball, not so much. We were hoping it would get good again. Thankfully, Leonard and Hamilton made that happen. But baseball is what carried you through. You locked in on baseball. And because basketball has been good the last several years, it kind of saved us a little bit while this baseball program was just, you didn't think much about it. I mean, I wanted to. Then we'd get out there, we'd watch the games, and we'd be like, 16 strikeouts, huh? Not a lot of balls being put in play. This isn't fun.
It will be interesting also to see what Link can do with the talent here. You know, like what he did at Notre Dame was really impressive, but the talent pool you can recruit from at Florida State is completely different. And so now the question is, and we kind of, because we did the video yesterday, we just kind of picked up the middle of this conversation about this team, and we went into the intangibles really. But from a tangible standpoint, you know, we feel pretty good, I think, about the offense overall.
Sure.
Optimistic about the offense.
Sure.
We feel like the defense has got a chance to be pretty good. The question is going to be, can enough of those arms develop? How quickly can they develop? There's talent. There's no question there's talent. There's some big arms on that bullpen and on that.
Well, staff. And another thing I noticed at the practice the other day, and this to me is the biggest development, not the development, but the thing I'd like to see the most in 2023 is it looks to me, Jeff, like the video board is going to be the exact same setup. It's going to be
How do you know that? You've not seen them go through a game day operation?
No, that's true.
We're sitting there taking in some practice. Beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day.
Yeah. And they had the wrong
sun, 70
sun
degrees.
Splashed, oh, man. 70 degrees.
That's what
relaxing,
I'm talking about.
Enjoying.
Yeah.
Everything's beautiful. We just needed a beer.
Oh, yeah.
And then Corey's like, you see the scoreboard?
You can now get those at
the
house.
Exact
though.
Same. You're going to have the batting averages going down the side that you can't read. You're going to have the line score below.
Listen, let's keep jumping into problems with that.
A big baseball in the – oh, no, it's the kid's face.
Right.
Whoever's pitching, it's the kid's face taking up the
whole
screen.
Well, you know, Link is a guy who understands the numbers and has, I think, an investment in technology. It seems to me that he would
– attention to detail.
Yeah,
that's
he would
thing.
Effort. He would say, guys, this is – what are we doing?
And maybe they just haven't updated the software. They're doing it behind the scenes, and the great unveiling is going to be –
the padding looks beautiful, though.
It does, man. Padding everything in the stuff in the bowels. Speaking of bowels, gang, I tell you what, I've been on some protein bars.
Stop it.
I didn't...
Stop it.
Sorry.
You're not allowed.
But the bowels at the stadium do look, they have the...
Was there standing water in the areas?
I mean, there's going to be standing water.
I mean, that's just part of the Hauser experience.
But it just had to be sunny that
rust.
Day. But they have put up a lot of signage.
They have the All-American signage up. They have the College World Series banners, like, hanging down in the concourse.
In truth, Florida State has got to do a better job of championing
like promoting
their successes.
How good.
All the trophies
are inside a place where nobody can see them.
Yeah, I mean, that is sad. Like, I've gone to college baseball games on the road, and you're like, oh, look, they've got right there the flag for when they finished third in the Atlantic. You're like, why are they doing that, and we don't have any of our actual, you know, accomplishments up? I mean, Florida State's had a ton of them. Hey, but you know what? That Buster Posey money's coming. I mean, now they're going to go ahead and retire the jersey. That's all he was waiting on. And now the checks are kind of flowing, buddy. That's
Briley,
all it is.
Briley in the chat right here has a great idea, a register sausage race.
Ben.
It's the jalapeno cheddar.
Yeah.
The hot link.
The short
link.
Short link, get a little short one.
Oh, yeah. You get a kid. You get a kid to do it. You get a jalapeno cheddar, and you get an andouille.
I had short links last night.
Oh, nice.
I grilled them. Don't often grill the sausage that way. Put them up on the second level while I was doing some other stuff with fish down on the lower level. I just slow cook those bad boys. Slow cook them over time.
Nice.
Tested it out. It was a really well done job by me, and the family enjoyed it immensely.
Everybody appreciated it.
And right now, Register Sausage appreciates it. But yeah, no, it was delicious. Just another way, guys. Just another way. But that idea.
The Register Sausage Race?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Because when do you not laugh when you watch?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
The Milwaukee
Pittsburgh,
thing.
The Milwaukee,
yeah.
The Bronx.
The Presidents.
Oh, the Presidents in D.C. are hilarious.
Preston offered up that it'll be called Beat the Sausage.
Okay.
Ira, you didn't have to read that.
What's wrong with that? It's a race with the sausage. That's what fans can race
each other.
Fans can race the sausages.
Yeah, beat the sausage like it's the freeze.
Yes.
Like
oh,
it's,
yeah,
like,
so the
like it's
what
the
free.
What
were
you
thinking?
Sausage
sorry,
goes
my
for,
fault.
Yeah. Yeah. You're thinking, what were you thinking?
I don't know.
What was on your mind?
I don't know. It's
no.
Something weird. Something
so
else.
So beat the sausage gets going, and then, you know, like.
Maybe the short link trips him up. There's some, like, slapstick stuff going on.
I love it. I love this idea.
Ben, you got to get on this.
Well, it's endless promotion, but also the fans would laugh. It would spruce things up at Hauser. It's a little bit of an older audience at Hauser.
Maybe that brings some college kids into the mix.
Well, beer does that, and then I think if they ever get that outfield set up where you can have, like they do at some of these other places, where you have some stands out there where you're allowed to bring in coolers.
Mm.
It's a Friday night at Hauser.
You can start
with
throwing
the college
stuff
kids?
At the right fielder. I'm all about it.
You're going to have a party atmosphere in the outfield, a team being successful, playing smart baseball.
We're going to shop back the puddles.
Everything's doing new signage. Everything's looking up, and Corey's going to be staring at the scoreboard.
The video board.
He's
oh,
like,
look.
What are we doing
286,
here?
And look, Connor Whittaker, look at his form and that big three-story-high picture of him.
Headliner questions forthcoming. Stay with us. I promise we'll get there in a moment.